Chapter 13. The Hunt. Determined to make a good showing of myself in Elodine's class, I tracked down Willem and negotiated an exchange of future drinks for his help navigating the archives. We made our way through the cobbled streets of the university together, the wind gusting as the huge windowless shape of the archives loomed above us across the courtyard. The words, "Vorfelan Renata Morie," were chiseled into the stone above the massive stone doors. As we came closer, I realized my hands were sweaty. "Lord and lady, hold on for a second," I said as I stopped walking. Will raised an eyebrow at me. "I'm nervous as a new whore," I said. "Just give me a moment."
"You said Lauren left this barn 2 days ago," Willem said. "I thought you'd be inside as soon as you had permission."
"I was waiting for them to update the ledgers." I wiped my damp hands on my shirt.
"I know something's going to happen," I said anxiously. "My name won't be in the book, or Ambrose will be at the desk, and I'll have some sort of relapse from that plum drug and end up kneeling on his throat and screaming."
"I'd like to see that," Will said, "but Ambrose doesn't work today."
"That's something," I admitted, relaxing a bit. I pointed to the words above the door.
"Do you know what that means?"
Will glanced up.
"The desire for knowledge shapes a man," he said. "Or something close to that."
"I like that." I took a deep breath.
"Right, let's go."
I pulled open the huge stone doors and entered a small antechamber. Then Will tugged open the inner doors and we stepped into the entry hall. In the middle of the room was a huge wooden desk with several large leather-bound ledgers open atop it. Several imposing doors led off in different directions. Fela sat behind the desk, her curling hair pulled back into a tail. The red light from the sympathy lamps made her look different, but no less pretty. She smiled.
"Hello, Fela," I said, trying not to sound as nervous as I felt. "I heard I'm back in Lauren's good books. Could you check for me?"
She nodded and began to flip through the ledger in front of her. Her face brightened, and she pointed. Then her expression went dark. I felt a sinking sensation in my stomach. "What is it?" I asked. "Is something wrong?"
"No," she said. "Nothing's wrong."
"You look like something's wrong," Will grumbled. "What does it say?"
Fela hesitated, then spun the book around so we could read it. "Quoth, Arliden's son, red-haired, fair-complected, young." Written next to this in the margin in a different script were the words, "Rue bastard." I grinned at her.
"Correct on all counts, can I go in?"
She nodded.
"Do you need lamps?"
she asked, opening a drawer.
"I do,"
Will said, already writing his name in a separate ledger. "I've got my own," I said, pulling my small lamp from a pocket of my cloak. Fela opened the admittance ledger and signed us in. My hand shook as I wrote, skittering the pen's nib embarrassingly so it flicked ink across the page. Fela blotted it away and closed the book. She smiled up at me.
"Welcome back," she said.
I let Willem lead the way through the stacks and did my best to look properly amazed. It wasn't a hard part to play. While I'd had access to the archives for some time, I'd been forced to creep around like a thief. I had kept my lamp on its dimmest setting and avoided the main hallways for fear of accidentally running into someone. Shelves covered every bit of the stone walls. Some hallways were broad and open with high ceilings, while others formed narrow lanes barely wide enough for two people to pass if they both turned sideways. The air was heavy with the smell of leather and dust, of old parchment and binding glue. It smelled of secrets. Willem led me through twisting shelves, up some stairs, then through a long, wide hallway lined with books bound all in identical red leather. Finally, we came to a door with dim red light showing around the edges.
"There are rooms set aside for private study," Willem said softly. "Reading halls. Sim and I use this one a lot. Not many people know about it."
Will knocked briefly on the door before he opened it to reveal a windowless room
barely larger than the table and chairs it contained. Sim sat at the table, the red light of his sympathy lamp making his face look ruddier than usual. His eyes grew wide when he saw me.
Growth? What are you doing in here?
He turned to Willem, horrified.
What is he doing in here?
Lauren left at his ban, Willem said. Our young boy has a reading list. He's planning his first book hunt.
Congratulations, Sim beamed at me. Can I help? I'm falling asleep here.
He held out his hand. I tapped my temple.
The day I can't memorize 20 titles is the day I don't belong in the Arcanum, I said.
Though that was only half the truth. The full truth was that I only owned a half dozen precious sheets of paper. I couldn't afford to waste one on something like this. Sim pulled a folded piece of paper out of his pocket along with a nub of pencil.
I need things written down, he said. Not all of us memorize ballads for fun.
I shrugged and began to jot them down. It'll probably go faster if we split my list three ways, I said. Willem gave me a look.
You think you can just walk around and find books by yourself?
He looked at Sim, who was grinning widely. Of course, I wasn't supposed to know anything about the layout of the stacks. Will and Sim didn't know I'd been sneaking in at nights for almost a month. It's not that I didn't trust them, but Sim couldn't lie to save his life, and Will worked as a scriv. I didn't want to force him to choose between my secret and his duty to Master Lauren. So I decided to play dumb.
Oh, I'll muddle through, I said nonchalantly. It can't be that hard to figure out.
There are so many books in the archives, Will said slowly, that merely reading all the titles would take you a full span.
He paused, looking at me intently.
11 full days, without pause for food or sleep.
Really? Sim asked. That long?
Will nodded.
I worked it out a year ago. It helped stop the Elliers mewling when they must wait for me to fetch them a book.
He looked at me.
There are books without titles too, and scrolls, and clays, and many languages.
What's a clay? I asked.
Clay tablet, Will explained. They were some of the only things to survive when Caluptena burned. Some have been transcribed, but not all.
All that's beside the point, Sim interjected. The problem is the organization.
Cataloguing, Will said. There have been many different systems over the years. Some masters prefer one, some prefer another.
He frowned.
Some create their own systems for organizing the books.
I laughed.
You sound like they should be pilloried for it.
Perhaps, Will grumbled.
I would not weep over such a thing.
Sim looked at him.
You can't blame a master for trying to organize things in the best way possible.
I can, Willem said. If the archives were organized badly, it would be a uniform unpleasantness we could work with. But there have been so many different systems in the last 50 years, books mislabeled, titles mistranslated.
He ran his hands through his hair, sounding suddenly weary.
And there are always new books coming in needing to be catalogued. Always the lazy Elier in tombs who want us to fetch for them. It's like trying to dig a hole in the bottom of a river.
So what you're saying, I said slowly, is that you find your time spent as a scriv to be both pleasant and rewarding. Sim muffled a laugh in his hands.
And then there are you people, Will looked at me, his voice dangerous and low. Students given the freedom in the stacks. You come in, read half a book, then hide it so you can continue later at your own convenience.
Will's hands made gripping motions as if clutching at the front of someone's shirt, or perhaps a throat.
Then you forget where you have put the book, and it has gone as surely as if you had burned it.
Will pointed a finger at me.
If I ever discover you have done such a thing, he said, smouldering with anger, no god will keep you safe from me.
I thought guiltily about 3 books I had hidden in just this way while I was studying for exams.
I promise, I said, I won't ever do that.
Again. Sim stood up from the table, rubbing his hands together briskly.
Right. Simply said, it's a mess in here, but if you stick to the books they've listed in Tolem's catalogue, you should be able to find what you're looking for.
Tolem is the system we use now. Will and I will show you where they keep the ledgers.
And a few other things, Will said. Tolem is hardly comprehensive. Some of your books might require deeper digging.
He turned to open the door.
As it turned out, only 4 books on my list were in the Tolem ledgers. After that, we were forced to leave the well-organized parts of the stacks behind. Will seemed to take the list as a personal challenge, so I learned a great deal about the archives that day. Will took me to the dead ledgers, the backward stair, the bottom wing. Even so, at the end of 4 hours, we'd only managed to track down the locations of 7 books. Will seemed frustrated by this, but I thanked him heartily, telling him he'd given me everything I needed to continue the search on my own. Over the next several days, I spent almost every free moment I had in the archives, hunting the books on Elodine's list. I wanted nothing more than to start this class with my best foot forward, and I was determined to read every book he had given us. The first was a travelogue I found rather enjoyable. The second was some rather bad poetry, but it was short and I forced my way through by gritting my teeth and occasionally closing one eye, so as not to damage the entirety of my brain. Third was a book of rhetorical philosophy, ponderously written. Then came a book detailing wildflowers in northern Artur, a fencing manual with some rather confusing illustrations, another book of poetry, this one thick as a brick and even more self-indulgent than the first. It took hours, but I read them all. I even went so far as to take notes on 2 of my precious pieces of paper. Next came, as near as I could tell, the Journal of a Madman. While it sounds interesting, it was really only a headache pressed between covers. The man wrote in a tight script with no spaces between the words, no breaks for paragraphs, no punctuation, no consistent grammar or spelling. That was when I began to skim. The next day, when confronted with 2 books written in Modigan, a series of essays concerning crop rotation and a monograph on vintage mosaics, I stopped taking notes. The last handful of books I merely flipped through, wondering why Elodine would want us to read a 200-year-old tax ledger from a barony in the small kingdoms, an outdated medical text, and a badly translated morality play. While I quickly lost my fascination with reading Elodine's books, I still delighted in hunting them down. I irritated more than a few scrivs with my constant questions. Who was in charge of reshelving? Where were the vintage dictums kept? Who had the keys to the 4th basement scroll storage? Where did the damaged books go while they were waiting to be repaired? In the end, I found 19 of the books, all of them except Entemerant Voisra, and that one was not from lack of trying. At my best guess, the entire venture took nearly 50 hours of searching and reading. I arrived at Elodine's next class 10 minutes early, proud as a priest. I brought my 2 pages of careful notes, eager to impress Elodine with my dedication and thoroughness. All 7 of us showed up for class before the noon bell. The door to the lecture hall was closed, so we stood in the hallway, waiting for Elodine to arrive. We shared stories about our search through the archives and speculated as to why Elodine considered these books important. Fela had been a scriv for years, and she had only found 17 of them. Nobody had found Entemerant Voistra or even a mention of it. Elodine still hadn't arrived by the time the noon bell rang, and at 15 minutes past the hour, I grew tired of standing in the hallway and tried the door to the lecture hall. At first, the handle didn't move at all, but when I jiggled it in frustration, the latch turned, and the door opened a crack.
"Thought it was locked,"
Inissa said, frowning.
"Just stuck," I said, pushing it open.
We entered the huge empty room and walked down the stairs to the front row of seats. On the large slate in front of us, written in Elodine's oddly tidy handwriting, was a single word: discuss. We settled into our seats and waited, but Elodine was nowhere to be seen. We looked at the slate, then at each other, at a loss for what exactly we were supposed to do. From the looks on everyone's faces, I wasn't the only one who was irritated. I'd spent 50 hours digging up his damn useless books. I'd done my part. Why wasn't he doing his? The seven of us waited for the next 2 hours, chatting idly, waiting for Elodine to arrive. He didn't.